are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello and welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Our prayer for you today is that this message would bring deeper knowledge of the truth of God and a deeper walk with Jesus. While listening today, if you have questions or you'd like us to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. Grace Emmanuel Church wants to welcome our newest staff member. Robbie Bolden is our next-gen pastor. This ministry meets the discipleship needs of adults ages 18 through 39. If this is you, we invite you to contact us so you can be involved in what God is doing. Pastor Robbie will deliver today's message titled, Fight to the Finish. Our culture is full of stories of people who started strong and did great things. Then they did not finish well. We end up remembering their failures rather than their success. The Apostle Paul truly fought to the finish. In his second letter to Timothy, he encourages the young pastor to do the same. His words to Timothy are for our encouragement as well. Join us now as we listen to this message from our next-gen pastor, Robbie Bolden.
Good morning, church. How are you? Hope you're doing well today. I want to first say thanks to Sam and Sue for being great models and examples of a father and a mother, and a pastor and a shepherd for a church and a community that needs great role models. And I got to know Sue first, really, because Tracy's connection with CareNet, and as I began to meet with Sam and get to know him a little bit, I have grown to love him, and just an amazing man and a great father figure for so many. And you know, I didn't realize what an opportunity this would be this morning, because they're the little things that make preaching easier. One of the neat things about, you don't know this maybe, but one of the neat things about being up here is that there's two air conditioner vents flowing right here. That is so awesome. And I brought a bottle of water this morning, and Sam goes, hey, Rob, I got this bottle for you. And I went, do I have to use it? He goes, well, the bottle you brought will crinkle. And I went, but Sam, you drink from this. He goes, I'm not going to give you mine. I'm going to give you a new one. So this is a germ-free, Sam-free bottle here that I have here that made me feel easier. And so I'm not worried about what's on the bottle. So that's really good this morning. I want to talk to you today about a subject that's very important to me. I hope will be very important to you. And it's one that's very personal to me. Because I have lived these 54 years, and I have seen a lot of men and women not finish the faith. Breaks my heart. People I love dearly who've not finished well. People that I respected, held in the high esteem, and they don't finish the race. They don't fight to the finish. And this morning, I want to talk to you about fighting to the finish. I want to say happy Father's Day to you fathers. I love being a dad. It's an honor and a privilege. And that God has given me, and I'm doing my best to not take it lightly. As a hospice chaplain, I get the opportunity to be at the bedsides of many dads. Sam's dad. And as I watch these fathers pass into eternity, it is just amazing to see the loving opportunity the family has to express their love, their appreciation. their gratitude for their dad. And there are many times, however, that that moment is full of heartache and bitterness and regret. And I don't want to get to the end of my life that being my story. And I don't want it to be the end of your story, whether you're a dad or a mom or a single person, whatever your circumstance in life, I don't want that to be your story. My prayer, my hope is that at the end of my life and that my family, my friends will be people who could say of me, you know what? He fought to the finish. He was a man who honored God with his life by being a faithful and godly husband and a father to his children and son-in-laws, who lived out the word of God. That's what I want said about me. But you know what? It can't be said of me right now because I'm not at the end. And I'm fighting every day to get to the end. And God is wanting you and me to fight to the very end. We have a community, we have a church, we have a nation that needs to see men and women who are going to fight to the end as believers in Jesus Christ. And so this passage is really important to me. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8. This passage is so important to me that every morning in my time with the Lord, I quote it. My daily declaration is, I will fight to the finish. And then I read this passage because I'm always reminding myself that there are men and women who have come before me and who will come after me that will not finish the race, and God has called us to finish the race. God has called us to move forward in faith. So how do you want to come to the end of your life? I want to ask you that this morning because look, every week I'm at the bedsides of men and women who are coming to the end of their life. And not a one of them asked, will you bring me my checkbook? Will you bring me my 401k statement? Not a one of them asked, will you bring me my favorite toy? They all say, would you bring the family around? And I want to tell you, there are many times there's no family around. They're by themselves. Sometimes I'm the only family they have, because they lived a life that they regretted. I don't want to end up that way. And I pray you don't want to end up that way this morning. So how do we get there? Well, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8, he says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly, eagerly look forward to his appearing. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we read your word today and as we walk through it, I pray that God, you would raise up a generation of men and women in this church, children, youth, God, who will fight to the finish, who will not surrender, who will not give in, but who will remain faithful to you, who will be mom and dads, sisters and brothers, friends and colleagues, who will fight for the faith, not just their own, but for the faith of others. And so, Lord, this morning as we step into this passage, I pray that, God, you would work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to move in us, because the words of this man are hollow compared to your word. And the Spirit's voice is much more powerful than mine. So, Lord, I'm praying that you speak loudly to people this morning. I'm praying that you move mightily in our hearts. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to do your work. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Paul was writing to his last word and testaments to his young Timothy, his young protege, his disciple. And as Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, Timothy was pastoring the church in Ephesus. And as Timothy was working in that church of Ephesus, what was happening to him was he was becoming weak and anemic in his faith. He was struggling in his leadership. And Paul was concerned about him. If you look at the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul is trying to buck this young man up. He's trying to tell him, look, son, this is what you need to do. I'm dying. I'm moving on to my reward. This is what I need you to understand. This is what I need you to do. And this is how I need you to act as the man of God. And so as Timothy was reading and receiving these words that Paul was saying, I pray that today you will receive these same words and that you will take the battle plan that Paul had, that he was trying to impress upon young Timothy about how he could live for Jesus and how he could lead his church and how he could lead others to a faithful walk with him. The Apostle Paul lays it out, and this morning he lays it out for us. He said, how do you fight? How do you fight to the finish? Well, the first thing that Paul tells Timothy is, says, you need to lay down your life. He says, look, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering. The time of my death is near. He says, look, I've sacrificed my life, Timothy, for Jesus. I've given it completely to him, and the time is finally here for my final offering to God. I'm going to be killed for the faith. See, Paul was waiting in prison. He had been judged. He was going to be beheaded, and undoubtedly he had seen a few beheadings of Roman citizens before, and he knew that he was about to be beheaded for his faith. And as Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, Paul was undoubtedly remembering God's command from Numbers 15, where God had given instruction of his people on how to offer burnt offerings as a sacrifice of their sins. And it was to be an animal sacrifice. If you remember back in the Old Testament, when an offering was given for the atonement of sins, and this animal would be laid out on an offer and split in half. He said, well, gee, Pastor, that's a great conversation this morning. We're going to be talking about this? Yes, this is what we're going to talk about. They were laid out. And then in the midst of that burnt offering, they would take some grain and they would mix it together with oil and they would place it on that altar and it would begin to bring an incredible aroma. How many of you ever been to a good barbecue? Any of you some good barbecue people in here? Who loves good barbecue? I do. This is body built by barbecue right here, right? All right? It's good stuff. Praise the Lord. Amen. And this smell that was in the temple, it smelled like a barbecue. It smelled like fresh bread being baked. And the final act of the sacrifice that was instructed to give was that wine was to be poured over the sacrifice to raise an aroma that was amazing in the temple in order for God and his pleasure. And Paul says, look, I'm about to be poured out. My body has been sacrificed for this work. And now I'm about to be poured out. I'm about to shed my blood for this work. Paul says that my life has been a sacrifice. Not a dead one, but a living one. He put it this way in Romans 12:1. He says, look, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that will be acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Paul says, look, I don't want you to die for God. You know, people will all the time say, you know, I would die for God. I would die for Jesus. God doesn't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. And that's what Paul's talking about here in Romans 12. He says, look, I want you to be that living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable, something that is pleasing. And Paul knew that he had lived that kind of life. He said, look, I've been that kind of sacrifice, Timothy, and I'm about to pour my blood out for this sacrifice, for this work that God has called us to. And Timothy, I want you to live that kind of life. I want you to live that kind of life. I know what you're thinking, man, that's hardcore. I don't think I could ever give myself to God like that. I mean, that's asking a lot. Are you kidding me? Look what Jesus has done for us. Look what Jesus, how he poured out his life for us. In light of all that Jesus has done for us, we can do this for him. You know, you will sacrifice yourself for something. You will either give yourself completely to God or you'll give yourself completely to this world. Every day you make that choice. The moment you get up, every morning, you make the choice of who you're going to completely sacrifice your life to. It is either God or yourself. You serve a master. You either serve God or you will serve yourself. And I want to tell you what, only one will not disappoint you. Only God will never disappoint you. Paul decided that 30-something years before this time that he wrote this book to Timothy on the Damascus Road, that he would serve God and sacrifice his life for Jesus. In Acts chapter 20, 24, he said this, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." You see, that was Paul's work. He sacrificed himself. That was the job and the mission that God had put in Paul's life. And guess what? That is the mission that God has called for your life. That is the mission and the calling of each and every one who claims the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you sacrificing your life for? This world or the one that is to come? What are you laying your life down for today? For Jesus? Or what this world promises you? This world will promise you the moon. It'll promise you anything and everything. But only one can deliver. Only Jesus can deliver. Paul says, look, Timothy, if you want to fight to the finish, you need to sacrifice. You need to lay your life out for him. You need to surrender yourself completely to our Savior Jesus. He said the second thing you need to surrender, the second thing you need to do is, in order to fight to the finish, is to fight for your faith. Verse 7, it says this, "I have fought the good fight." Now, Paul said, there's a good fight to fight. I remember my mom telling me, boy, maybe your mom did this, I don't know, maybe not. But my mom always said, Robbie, don't you ever get in a fight. Anybody's mom ever tell them that? Then one day I got off the bus. I was about 6, 7, 8 years old. I don't really remember. I think I was 7. Got off the bus and Travis got off the bus with me. We've all got a Travis in our life, right? And so Travis got off the bus and he just started picking on me. And he started pushing me and shoving me. Then he took a poke at me. Everybody's like, you need to fight him. Hit him back. You know, they just wanted to see a fight. But I didn't. And so he went into wailing on me. Now I was a little bigger than him, but I wasn't going to fight him. I all grew up in the day when your daddy would use the belt on your rear end. Anybody been there? Yeah. I've got 2-part whoopings. I don't know about you, but my dad cut him in half because he didn't want to kill me. So I was a little rough growing up. You know, I was a little hard to handle sometimes. I was a preacher's kid, for Pete's sake. And my mom had wondered why I wasn't back from the bus stop, so she came out to the sidewalk and saw me down there getting wailed on. And if you've never seen a mom get her cackles up. My mom walked herself down to that bus stop and everybody goes, oh no, here comes Robbie's mom. Run. They were scared of her. I mean, she had that look. You know that look moms give, right? And so I got home to dinner that night and one of the things that my parents said to me was, why didn't you fight him back? And I said, Dad, you told me never to fight. Mom, you told me never to fight. My dad goes, boy, don't you ever get well known. You don't start it, but you finish it. I went, all right, that's what I needed to know. Folks, there's a good fight to fight. And that's the fight for your faith. Every day of your life, you're fighting for your faith. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, 13, he said, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. What does he mean when he says that? He says, look, this is a fight to the finish for your faith. You can't slack off. You can't take a break. You can't take a day off. He said, this is a fight that you're going to have to fight every day. It is a fight to the finish. Your salvation is not a momentary decision. It is a daily battle that you have to fight. Every day of Paul's life was a battle for his soul and his calling. And this morning, the enemy is wanting you to give up. To give up. To quit. He's hoping that your life is so dang hard that you will throw in the towel. And some of you, you've been through all kinds of hell. You've been through a divorce. that you didn't want, and you prayed, God, God, save me, save this marriage. Didn't happen. You had a kid die on you. You prayed for that kid. You prayed and you got, God, God, save my kid. It didn't happen. This morning, the enemy was awake when you woke up. He was at the foot of your bed, ready for battle. How did you get up this morning? For me, the day started with Jesus, I need you today. I didn't always start out that way. I used to get up just going, oh, you know, I'll get up, start my day. No, I needed God every day. I needed to go to war every day. It's unimaginable that anyone would start their day, step out of their bed without acknowledging their need for Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in their life every day. You see, the life you live for Jesus is going to be nothing less than a relentless and fierce fight. Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but we are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against these evil spirits in the heavenly realms. You see, your battle isn't against the enemy you can see, but against the one you can't see. He is doing his best to destroy your faith, and Paul says, look, you got to fight for your faith, Timothy. And that's the word he has for you this morning. Some of you, you just get up and you're just defeated every day. You just walk around your faith. Man, I feel bad about how I'm acting today. I feel bad about my faith. I'm not doing a very good job for Jesus. We just wind around and mess around. And Jesus said, what are you doing to fight for your faith? It's what Paul's called us to. It's what the word calls us to. Paul says this in 1 Timothy, it's not on the screen, but it's just write it down, 1 Timothy 4:8-10. He says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. And then verse 10 says this, this is why we work hard and continue to struggle. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly all believers. He says, look, it's a struggle. You got to work hard. Some people think, hey, man, this Christian life pretty easy. Just give your life to Jesus. You just walk around. Just I'm a Jesus person. You don't want to know what? You're going to get your head hammered. Oh, only one other person's had that happen. I'm sorry. Lucky y'all.
We pause from today's message to welcome those just joining us. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We're listening to a message titled, Fight to the Finish, delivered by our next-gen pastor, Robbie Bolden. It is our desire that we continue in the faith strong until that day when we see our Lord and Savior. If you have questions about today's message or you'd like us to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send us any comments or questions or prayer requests. Now let's return and listen to the rest of this message from our next-gen pastor, Robbie Bolden.
You want a little example of what Paul had to go through? 2 Corinthians 11 is probably not on the screen, but this is what he said. He goes, I've worked harder, been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. I've faced death again and again, 5 different times. The Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and not recreationally. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the desert, and on the sea. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long and endured many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and I've been thirsty and I've gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have been daily burdened for the concerns of all the church. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been shipwrecked? A couple of you? Oh, okay. I don't want to know about that. I'm never going boating with you. All right? Paul went through a lot for this faith. He battled for the faith. Here's the bottom line. Every day when you get up, you have to realize that you will be in a battle. There's no days off. The day you take off, you get killed. Paul says, look, the other thing that you need to do in order to fight for the finish is to run your race. He said, I've finished the race. Paul had his own race to run. Paul gave him the opportunity to spread the gospel to the Gentile world. That was his calling. That was the mission that God had gave him. God has given you a race, and he has a course that he wants you to finish. You have to run your race. And there's no one like you in this world. Everyone in this room is very different. Every one of you, you have a different fingerprint, you have a different heartbeat, you have a different eye retina. We all have different abilities, skills, gifts. And Paul was at the end of his race, and it was time for his departure. And he accomplished what God had called him to do. And his work was finished. And he didn't get sidetracked. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 12:1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You see, there's a race set before you. When you stepped across the line, you gave your life to Jesus, and you began to walk that walk. He said, look, I want you to run this race. But the writer says, there are two things that will keep you from running your race quickly. First one is distractions. He says, look, he says, strip off all those extra weights that slow us down. You see, I believe the biggest weight that slows us down, the biggest distraction in a lot of our lives is that we get distracted by watching other people run their race. We're too busy trying to run somebody else's race. We forget that God has given us a unique race to run. He has given you a specific task. He's only made one Robbie. He's only made one Sam, one Kevin. One, thank God, one Kevin. And one Mitchell. Oh, really, thank God for one Mitchell. Love you, buddy. Love you, Kevin, wherever you're at. God's only given us one of those people. We don't need any more. We don't need any more of you. God's called you to run your race. Some of you are frustrated in your faith because you're not running your race. It's taken twice as much energy to run somebody else's race. You know what also is the problem while we run other people's races? While we try to be like everybody else? Because we're not willing to pay the price of intimacy with God to figure out what he wants to do with our life. Second thing he says is sin. Sin, it trips us up. Sin will take you off track. Sin will take you off course, and sin will keep you from being what God made you to be. Let me give you an ironic quote this morning. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You want to know who said that? Ravi Zacharias. This man lived a duplicit life. He was one thing in public, and he was another thing in private. And he shipwrecked his faith. But that's his quote. I remember before he fell, and look, nobody knew the things about him until after his death. And then this quote comes back. Folks, it's a good quote. But you got to make sure you finish the race. You got to finish to the end. What is keeping you from running your race? What is distracting you? What sin is it that is getting you off course? Get rid of it. Time is too short for us to mess around with distractions and sins. Paul says, finally, if you want to finish this race, you're going to have to stay faithful to the gospel. He says, look, I have remained faithful. Now, Paul was saying, I have got a clear conscience. I have never compromised the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, stay true to the gospel, Timothy. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, fight the good fight for what? The truth. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. You see, Timothy knew the truth. Paul knew that he knew it, but he was wavering. Paul challenged Timothy, and he praised him at the same time. Today, the progressive thinking is that we have to make allowances for alternative lifestyles and behaviors and beliefs in order to reach those far from God. That kind of thinking is illogical and from the pit of hell. That's like passing around funny money, hoping to buy a bunch of stuff. It ain't going to work. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:3, he says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear." That was true then, and it's true now. The gospel is always going to be under attack, and God is looking for faithful men and women who will hold the truth of the scriptures before people who need it. A few years ago, my wife and I were invited to dinner. I was pastoring a church here in town, and they said, "Hey, pastor, can you go to lunch with us or go to dinner with us?" I said, "Great, we'll go to dinner with you. Do I have to pay?" I mean, you know, that's always kind of one of the questions you ask. And so we went to this great restaurant, and we were eating, and they said, "Hey, we had a request of you." Well, okay. What is that? Because, see, I thought we were going there to fellowship, have a good time, get to know each other better, that kind of thing. And we sat down to dinner, and they wanted to ask me if I wouldn't preach anymore on sexual sin, and in particular, homosexuality. Now, it wasn't a topic that I preached on a regular basis. It wasn't something that I hammered every week. It was always in the context of God's plan for man and marriage. It was not something I preached on a lot. But what had happened was they had an adopted daughter come in who was lesbian and didn't want her to be offended by the truth of the gospel, and they asked me not to preach on it. And of course, that's not the answer that woman needed. And guys, don't get me wrong. There are churches and organizations that hammer people for their lifestyle in an ungodly way. We don't need to be that kind of people. God has called us to speak the truth in love, to be gentle and gracious with people, and to love them into a relationship, but to be people of the truth. Now, as you can imagine, I had to disappoint this family, and they quickly moved on from the church. Listen, the true gospel will always be under attack. And I'm sure Sam's going to get to this passage next week or the week after or a month or two down the road. But in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, I'm teasing Sam. I love you, buddy. He says, "And if anyone removes any of the words from this book of prophecy, God will remove that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city that is described in this book." Now look, the context of this verse is in the prophecies of Revelation, but I think it could be applied to all scripture. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." God's truth is required for you to win the battle, to finish the race. Paul fought to the finish. So once you fight to the finish, what? What next? What will be your reward? You see, there's a reward for us. Paul says, look, hey, in verse 8, he says, "And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness." He says, look, you're going to receive a crown. Now, Paul has in mind here a runner who's racing for a little wreath. You remember seeing these old pictures of athletes receiving a wreath on their head? Who wants that? I want a gold medal, right? I mean, that's what I want. But it's also, it represents a military leader who wins a battle, someone who has fought a good battle and receives a wreath from the emperor to demonstrate that he is the winner. He is the victor. And that's what Jesus is going to do for us one day. That crown of righteousness, when you step into his presence, when you finish that race, just like Paul did, when you step into the presence of Jesus on that last day, he is going to place a wreath of righteousness on you and say, "Well done. Well done, my kid. You did it. You made it." Don't you want to hear that? I do. You see, that crown of righteousness is based on the faithfulness of the one receiving it. James put it this way in James 1:12. He said, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." That's waiting for you. When you finish that race, when you've gone through the battles and the struggles and the fights and the hard times of walking in your faith, that's one of the many rewards that await you. You say, I don't want to see somebody put garland on top of my head. That's not the only thing I want. Well, if you've been paying attention to Revelation, you know you're going to get much more than that. God's got a room for you. You're going to get to sleep in his house. There's going to be many opportunities for blessings from the Lord. But here's what I want. Verse 8, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. Not only will you receive this crown of righteousness, but you will receive the gratitude of a pleased Savior. I don't know a kid who doesn't want their dad to be proud of them. Most kids that I know want to please and make their dad proud. I remember my girls growing up. Two of the three are here this morning, and my son-in-law, I'm so grateful they're here this morning. And one of the things my girls would always say, Daddy, look at me, Daddy, look at me, Daddy, look at me. Remember that? They wanted their dad to be proud of them. And I was always proud of my kids. But I want my Savior to be proud of me. Nothing makes a father more joyful than one of his kids winning a race. Why do you think God would be so proud? Because we ran the race with his power and his strength, with his ability. Matthew 25:23, the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Who will receive the reward? Everyone eager for Christ's return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Now, there's some people that who are thinking, oh man, because with what Pastor Sam has been teaching the last few weeks, I mean, there's going to be a group of people who are just not going to be really excited that Jesus comes back. But then there's that remnant. There's the body of Christ who genuinely is fighting for their faith. And on a daily basis, they're saying, oh, Lord, come get us. Get us out of this mess. I don't know about you, but I think we're in a mess. We're in a mess. But you know what? We're not the first church that's ever seen a mess. This world has always been a wreck. And the people of God have always cried out for God to come, for Jesus to return. Who are the true believers? Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who fights to the finish will be saved. You say, why is this message so important? I'll tell you why it's important. It's important because your very life depends on it. I pray my kids are at my side when I'm dead or dying, and they go, Dad was the real deal. He fought to the end. I don't know if I'm going to be that person. I'm sure Ravi Zacharias thought that too. I'm sure many of you who know people who've shipwrecked their faith thought that as well. That's why we have to keep fighting every day for our faith. That's why we have to keep sacrificing our life every day. We got to keep laying our lives down for the one who laid his life down for us. How's your race going? Are you running it well, or have you become sidetracked? Today can be a new day. That's the awesome thing about today. Today's a new day. You can come here this morning. You can hear what Pastor Sam and the prayer that you prayed this morning before the message and repented of your sins. And maybe you want to do that here in just a few minutes if you didn't do it then. And you can have a new start today. That's the amazing thing about Jesus. Today can be a new day. You see, it's not how you start the race that matters. It's what? How you finish. I was a slow starter. I was, honestly. I was a slow starter in my faith and life. But I'm fighting to become a strong finisher. And my prayer, my hope for you is that you will fight to the finish. That you will take the encouragement from Paul this morning. And I know some of you, you've had a lot of garbage in your life, a lot of things, a lot of mistakes, a lot of sin, a lot of past failures, a lot of hurts that have come your way. And you're going, Pastor, you just don't understand. No, but God does. And that's really what matters. God understands, and he has a purpose for your hurt and your pain and your struggles and your failures, and he wants to use them. Paul started out killing people. He finished out being killed for the sake of the gospel. If it can happen to him, it can happen to you. You can finish strong. Let me pray for you. Lord, this morning, your word's been super clear to us today, I hope. And I pray that, Lord, as there are people in this room who are just, they've been struggling in their faith, they're struggling in their walk with you. And Lord, they know they're not measuring up. I just pray that this morning, Lord, they would surrender themselves to you and your will and your race for them. That God, they would begin to fight the fight that you've called them to fight. And that, Lord, they would run the race. And they'd run it well. Lord, in this room, there are men and women who need you. And if you're that person today, if you're someone who doesn't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you just to simply, in your heart and your mind right now, just to surrender your heart to the Lord. You know you need this. And just silently between you and Jesus, you two do business. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I need your forgiveness. I'm coming to you today and I repent of my sin. I'm asking you to be the Savior and the Lord of my life. Help me to finish well today, God. Help me to take my life that's been so slow to start and to help me finish strong, Jesus. Thank you for saving me and being my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Lord, there's others in this room who are believers. Lord, they've gotten off track. And Lord, I'm just asking, I'm pleading for their hearts this morning, Lord. And I pray that God, you would just draw them back to you. If that's you this morning, just as a believer in Jesus, say, Lord, I've gotten off track. I need to get back on track, Jesus. Lord, I need to get back to my heart to you, to surrender, to give up, Lord, whatever it is that's keeping me from you today, I surrender. Lord, I'm sure somebody's praying that prayer this morning, and Lord, I pray for this church, that God, this would be a church that fights to the finish, that prevails with the true gospel. We're men and women in this congregation, Lord, who will go to battle every day for the hearts, souls, and minds of men and women in this community. God, I pray that that's this church. And so, Jesus, this morning, we plead with you to do a work that only you can do through your Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And now we sing to you, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. Starting strong and finishing well depends on our closeness with Jesus. It depends on our staying in his word. Please join us for some discussion about the message. With us today are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries. Joining us today are Jen Osborne and Dean Clevenger, two of our members here at Grace.
Pastor Robbie's whole emphasis here was that he fought to the finish. And as now a 64-year-old pastor, that picture is in my mind often, most of the time. In fact, the picture God gives me is that of a ribbon, you know, the runner running toward the ribbon, breaking the ribbon. And God's given me that picture in my mind constantly where I'm to run until I hit that ribbon, but I am not to crawl to the ribbon. I'm not to sit down beside the ribbon. I'm to hit the ribbon running hard and accurately and faithfully. In fact, Jesus said in his John 17 sermon, he told the Father, I've done everything you asked me to do. And that is in my mind often now. I didn't do well, perhaps, when I was younger, but at this point in my life, I want to say, God, when I get to the end of this thing, I want to be able to say, I did what you asked me to do. Pastor Robbie said that at the end, he, as a hospice chaplain, he doesn't hear anybody who's asking for anything from this world. They're asking for family. And I sat by many, 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 many people's bed as they're dying and watched them die. And also, the only thing they seemed to be concerned about was who they were leaving behind here, of course, but now where am I going? And that's my job as a pastor has been to say, okay, let's talk about where you're going. That's really important. Secondly, comes for me as a pastor, comes the idea of passing the baton. Before I hit that ribbon, changing the type of race, I have to have people running the race who are going to run longer and harder and perhaps faster than I did. So it's my job to make sure I pass that baton to the next generation and don't drop it in passing it. And as Pastor Robbie said, and we've all seen it, so many people who've run long and hard, and then they come toward the end of the race and they drop the baton or they fail to finish the race. They don't hit the ribbon. And God help us, that must not be true. I've been preaching, if you've been listening, you know I've been preaching on heaven for 29 weeks. And every time now I think about the future, the picture of heaven just looms in my mind. There's absolutely nothing about this world that makes me want to stray into some temptation, move toward some earthly thing when that is on the other side, that heaven is waiting on the other side. So running the race and staying faithful. And that is just such a critical thing because God is faithful. God has proven his faithfulness to us. And he's saying, now what I want to teach you is to be faithful back to me.
Luann and I have been reading through a one-year Bible. We're reading in the Old Testament now, and I've seen many examples of finishing well and finishing not so well. Abraham and David are great examples of finishing well. And on the other hand, we see King Solomon, King Asa, King Joash, King Amaziah starting strong, but they managed to get themselves derailed in the end. And their downfalls were pretty varied: human pride, greed, and taking matters into their own hands. Although Abraham and David finished well, they also had their own issues along the way. The common thread for all of them was they took their focus off God. It's no different for us today. We aren't kings, but we are human, and we are easily derailed in our Christian walk by the things of this world that come at us from every direction. I was blessed to have had a godly father growing up, although a majority of the time I thought it was a curse. I saw it, the good and bad, because I wasn't following God. I tended to focus on the bad. I rebelled against God and my earthly father, because in my old vantage point, it seemed pointless and unachievable. But as Robbie said, we need to focus on our own race to the finish line. I was focused on my dad's race, which to me seemed pretty bleak. Unfortunately, it took me years to see the truth. I wasted a lot of years running my race, but in the wrong direction. But I thank God that I had an earthly father and a heavenly father that never gave up on me. In the end of my dad's life, he had all seven of his children not only living for the Lord, but they were surrounding him as he prepared to meet his heavenly father. That's the kind of finish Robbie talked about and the kind we all dream about for ourselves. I'm now running the race in the right direction, and it isn't always easy. There's all kinds of pitfalls everywhere to trip me up. From my new vantage point, I see communicating with God through prayer, staying in the Word, and surrounding myself with other godly men will help me to finish the race strong. My desire is to please my Savior, so one day I will face him and hear him say, "Well done."
While Pastor Robbie didn't specifically continue in our Heaven series, the message he presented very much ties in with heaven, because in order for us to make it to heaven, we must finish our race. I appreciated the 3 points Pastor Robbie gave: lay down our lives, fight for our faith, and run our race. All 3 of these points directly relate to what our Savior, Jesus, did for us. Jesus laid his life down on Calvary. He showed us how to fight for faith by demolishing every lie Satan threw at him when tempted in the wilderness. He used the Word of God. And finally, Jesus ran his race well. Though the Pharisees were constantly coming at him, he developed a life of fasting, prayer, and discipline. And at the end of his life, he declared, "Not my will, but yours be done." Due to the circumstances I went through as a child, I struggled with resentment, anger, and bitterness, as well as feelings of unworthiness and insignificance. After receiving salvation at age 17, I took comfort in John 16:33, when Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What I have learned is that life is made of a series of races. James 1 says it best, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Romans 5 goes on to say, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Jesus laid his life down so we can live. He wants us to pick up the mantle he carried and continue the mission he began. He wants us to develop our faith so we can endure the trials. And he is standing at the finish line, waiting to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
In another setting, Pastor Robbie talked about the fact that you don't retire when you're fighting the good fight, when you are a soldier for Christ, when you're a follower of Jesus. In fact, he said that you're not done until they throw dirt on you. Paul was sitting in a prison cell. The reason that Paul knew that his fight was over is that he'd been informed about it. He was waiting literally for them to come and execute him. He wasn't going to be in ministry anymore. So what Paul's doing with his son in the faith, Timothy, is exactly what Pastor Sam said. This is that lane where one runner with the baton has a short period of time to pass the baton to the next runner. And that's what these letters to Timothy are. They're that lane where the apostle is passing this off to this young pastor. And Paul uses some amazing language here. All the verbs he used talk about, look back at my life, Timothy. Look back at how I've lived. I've laid down my life. He's used this word pouring out, which he used one time before for the Philippians when he talked about their sacrifice and that his life was just something a little extra being poured on there so their life looked better and smelled better to the Lord. He talks about fighting for the faith, and he uses a word agony, and it paints the picture of the Olympic Games where the runners prepared and they ran the race to the finish and nobody got glory for not finishing. But he paints this agony in terms of it being beautiful. He talks about running the race, and he paints this picture again of the Olympics running on a cinder track that's difficult. He talks about staying faithful, guarding the faith, and he uses a word that's active. He defended the faith by actively guarding it, by looking for things in his own life and the life of others and saying, no, don't go that way, go this way. Paul is saying to Timothy, look back at my life. Look at how I've lived and live that way. But Paul's not sitting in fear. Paul is resting in the victory that is about to be his. I want to be that way. I want you to be that way. That when you get to the end of this life, you are not looking back on regret. You are resting in the victory that's about to be yours.
To tie all those pieces together, Pastor Robbie just truly hit the nail on the head. And these are just a couple of the things he was talking about with fighting to the finish, laying down your life, fighting for my faith, running your race, staying faithful to the gospel. And brothers and sisters, those are supernatural endeavors. That doesn't happen in our strength. It happens by the Spirit of the living God falling fresh on us every single day. And as a 32-year-old, you know, as a young guy, I think about my death often. I think about finishing my race well, because Paul did. Shipwrecked, abandoned, left for dead, betrayed, and he finished well, discipling and mentoring Timothy and others. And Timothy would go on to pastor at the church at Ephesus. And in a previous sermon series, Pastor Sam made very clear that Ephesus turned from a pagan nation to many believers coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And Timothy was at the tip of the spear. But where is that all attributed to? The Apostle Paul, who mentored Timothy, who exhorted Timothy, who encouraged Timothy. And that's what God wants each one of us to do, To finish our race requires an intentional mentoring and exhorting of others and serving others. And we can only do this by the grace of God and for the glory of God. So here's what I want to encourage each one of us with. We all need a Paul in our life. We all need someone mentoring us. We all need a Barnabas in our life, someone in the same season of life, similar age bracket, serving the Lord alongside. And we all need Timothys. No matter how young you are or how old you are, we need somebody to pour into, to love, to encourage, to exhort in the faith. And when we do all those things, we will find ourselves finishing our race well to the glory and renown of Jesus Christ. And that is my prayer and desire for each one of us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're thankful. Thank you that you've saved us. Thank you that you've plucked us out of darkness and you brought us into your marvelous light. I pray that each one of us, God, would finish our race well. We would all find a Paul, we would all find a Barnabas, and we would all find a Timothy in our lives, that we would exhort others and care for one another, to love one another, to labor alongside one another. And when we do these things, we will finish our race. We will fight the good fight, and we will model the gospel to a lost and dying world. I pray that we would do these things by the power of the Holy Spirit and for your glory and for your renown. And in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray all these things. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the program today. A victorious life in Christ that lasts for all of our lives on this earth depends on how closely we follow Christ together. If you would like more information about this, please text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We also invite you to join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just west of US 1. For more information about us, please visit our website. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May this week be one more step in you finishing well. Please visit with us soon.